Thank you, Arlen. Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Welcome to First Christian Church. We are thrilled to have you here, whether you are a longtime member or a first-time visitor. Please take an opportunity to fill out the friendship sheet that you'll find on the inside of the aisle. Put your information on, pass it down, and then bring it back to the center. If you are visiting today, we'd really like to get that information from you so that we can keep in contact. There are lots of announcements today, and I will go through them fairly quickly because we have a jam-packed service today. Circle of Caring is meeting tomorrow, lunch bunch at Thursday at 11:30. Commissions and Boards meeting is next Monday. Our annual meeting, including the tasting party and congregational meeting, will be held between the services on the 16th. Bring your favorite food or holiday treat to share, and all members of the congregation are eligible to vote as we elect new officers. That same day is Christmas Music Sunday, and the handbell, choirs, and children will be presenting special music. There will be a chapel service that day as well. And then that afternoon, we have a Christmas recital. So the 16th is going to be a busy day. The day before that is the adoption shower for the Ostranders, and that's going to be here at 2. And if you have any questions, please check with Michelle. Those of you who were here between services this morning may have had a chance to meet Levi. He is a sweetie and seems to be adjusting pretty well. He tends to like shoes, so if you have some really exciting shoes when you meet him, you may get more attention, okay? This Wednesday at 7 o'clock, there is a free concert in Wheeler Hall. It is the Casper College Band Concert. So that's the new music building, the theater in the new music building. What is the music? Bill, do you know? Are they a variety of stuff, or...? Well, but I mean like jazz or traditional or what's it going?
It will be traditional.
Okay.
Along with the brass choir.
Okay. Christmas music. I guess I led myself into that one. Godly Girlfriends will be preparing some Christmas cheer for our shut-ins at church. They're going to be meeting at the church on Thursday, this Thursday, the 6th. At 5:30 to assemble bags and plates for distribution. Please bring a treat of some sort, cookies, fudge, bread. If you want to make a cheesecake, that's fine. Then drop that off at our house before you come to church. But if you can't make it and still like to bake, please let Randy Sue know, and she can make arrangements to pick them up, or you can take them to the church that day between 10:30 and 2:30. Information on the search for an associate minister. We are still looking for people to fill those three roles that Dennis had talked about last week. One, we're looking for someone or someones to help with IT on making sure that our website is what it should look like. Secondly, we're looking for people who would be willing to work on developing the job description. And then third is the profile for the church. Did I get those right, Dennis? So if those are areas that you have some expertise in or would like to be interested in developing that so that we can move forward with that search, please contact Dennis or Linda, either one. Is that right, still the case? Okay. Do we have any other announcements? Please say no. Okay. Oh, Carmen.
It's a fun one.
Okay. Oh, well, happy birthday, Victoria. And I heard through the grapevine that little Miss Kylie Stupak had a birthday on Friday and is 14 now. So we should sing to both Kylie and Victoria. Arlen, do you want to give us a little ching-a-ring, or would you prefer me to just do it a cappella? Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Kylie and Victoria. Victoria, Kylie. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Congratulations, ladies. You will now stand at work, if you will, please, stand and greet each other around you and prepare to sing our opening song, number 133, Like a Child. We will sing verses 1 and 2, but please stand and greet those around you.
A child and a friend, Jesus comes. Like a child we may find, claiming heart, soul, and mind. Like a child strong and kind, Jesus comes. Like a child we would meet, ragged clothes, dirty feet. Like a child on the street, Jesus comes. Like a child we once knew, coming back into view, like a child born anew, Jesus comes.
Please join me in the call to worship. Advent is a time to remember the wonders of our faith. Advent is a time to be amazed at God's wondrous love. Advent is a time to be awed by God's unfolding plan for creation.
God has done wonderful things planned long ago.
Please join me in the invocation. Lord, we await your coming, and oftentimes your people are not patient. We want it now. We have instant coffee, fast food drive-throughs, things that make everything want to come quickly. But often, in the wanting for things to come and not being patient, we lose sight of what's going on in the here and now. We ask you to help us slow ourselves down, to be at the pace to seek peace, to know that you are coming, but to be in the midst of the time that we also have to wait. We ask these things in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Gloria in excelsis. Lord shouts this day, oh, gloria in excelsis Deo.
You may be seated. We have a special gift of music this morning from Bob and Josh. They will play for us, O Come All Ye Faithful, and then we'll have the lighting of the Advent wreath.
The lighting of Advent candles, a circle of evergreens, reminds us of the eternal, ever-renewing promises of Christ. The lighting of candles, increasing in number through the season, acknowledges the deepening of our preparation and the increasing light that burst forth at Christmas. On this Sunday, we light the first candle of Advent. We kindle this first candle with hope. We name our longing for Christ to come to our world, to break through and reign with compassion, justice, and peace. We remember the times we have longed for God to be present to us, to this congregation, and to this world.
The prophet Isaiah also cried to God to tear open heaven and come down. He called God's people to do right. Isaiah called them to be freshened like a clay by God, the potter. This Advent, we call out to God in the hope that our lives will become holy vessels for Christ's light. Let us pray. Mighty God, creator of the world, break through all that keeps us from you. We ask for your mercy to reform us in your image. This Advent, bless us with hope. Visit us with your justice, love, and peace. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 133. We will sing the third verse of Like a Child. A special time of worship and wonder has been prepared for our children. At this moment in the service, they are excused to go with the leaders for either worship and wonder or the Young Disciples class Sunday school.
Happy New Year! The Christian year begins with this season known as Advent, marked by the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. Advent means coming. This season is a time of waiting, of eager anticipation and spiritual preparation for the coming of our Messiah, Jesus Christ.
The promise of Christ's coming is foretold in Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
During this morning's Hanging of the Green service, we are surrounded by the lights of the season representing Christ's light. We reflect on the meaning behind a few of the many symbols of the Advent season. Each decoration in our sanctuary reminds us of the Christmas story and calls us to proclaim God's love revealed in Christ's humble birth. Advent is a call for us to prepare for Jesus' coming. Let us join in singing, Come, O Long Expected Jesus, number 125 in the Chalice Hymnal.
Come, O long expected Jesus, born to set the people free from our fears and sins, release us, Christ in whom our rest shall be. You are strength and consolation, come salvation to impart. Dear desire of any nation, joy of many longing hearts, and the people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, born your gracious realm to bring. By your own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By your all-sufficient Claret, raise us to your glorious throne.
On the back of your bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer concerns of our congregation. As we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you, write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today, and place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card shower this morning is for the family of Shirley Morton. Shirley was an active participant in our Christian Women's Fellowship. She helped with the quilting circle, the sandwich ministry, and the blanket ministry. 2 weeks ago, Shirley suffered a sudden and massive stroke. She ended up in hospice and has since passed away. Our prayers are with her family at this sudden loss. Please be praying for Shirley's daughter, Michelle, and for all of the family. There are several prayer concerns listed in our bulletin. There are many individuals we know of who are struggling with health concerns. Cal Decker has asked for your prayers, especially on Tuesday, when he'll get the results from blood work. This is a follow-up on his cancer numbers. We're praying for strength for Cal at a challenging time. Janice Kell is the daughter of Dot and Max Lowe. She lives in Tennessee. The Lowes were strong members of our congregation for many, many years. Janice has been diagnosed with 2 aneurysms, and this week she will meet with a surgeon about the possibility of having brain surgery. So please be praying for Janice. Paul Smith has a couple concerns that he would like to share with us. A lot of prayer concerns for Paul's family, so we join with him in praying for his sister-in-law, his sister Lori, and his uncle Tom. Jim Oliver.
Yes, my wife is doing a lot better, thanks to everybody's prayers. Mary Oliver is doing better, but she still need to pray for her because she off and on, she has these headaches. So she just had brain surgery, so that's expected, but still it's concerned. My brother Billy and my older brother David, Billy had heart surgery and he's had problems with bleeding, as well as, and my brother David has had dementia for quite a while through seizures, and he had some blood transfusions, so it seems like the Oliver family has kind of had a lot of problems.
We'll be praying for all of the Olivers. We continue to pray for Mary Oliver. She recovers from brain surgery. For Jim's brothers, Billy and David, who both have significant health concerns. Prayers for Amber French. She has seen a specialist in Denver, and she has suffered some hearing loss with everything else that's been going on. And you're still headed to Mayo's? And that trip is this coming week. She leaves tomorrow to go to Mayo Clinic in Arizona. So please pray for Amber, for safe travels, and that the specialist there can finally give her a helpful diagnosis. Are there others today that we want to lift in prayer? Paul.
Thank you very much to the congregation for their prayers for Eli. He did a mighty battle. We'll pray to God that he will win.
We continue to pray for Paul's grandson, Eli, as he battles cancer. Arlen.
It's my first middle school concert this week.
Prayers for all of the students who are performing Christmas music this time of year. Prayers for Arlen as he leads his very first middle school concert. It's a big adventure for a music teacher to have that first performance of your kids. And we pray that it all goes well.
Prayer for my grandson, Reed, who has a third MRI, and he's neuralized permanently.
prayers of rejoicing that Nina's grandson's blastoma has been reduced by 50%. We're thankful that that was the result that showed in the third MRI. We continue to pray for his health. Josh. Prayers for Reverend Pierce recovering from a stroke. The missionary that we're lifting today is Jerry Handy, who serves in Mexico. And our regional prayer partners, if you'd like to sign the sheet to send greetings to them, are the members and staff of First Christian Church in Colorado Springs. Let us bring all of these concerns to the Lord in a time of shared silence. O God of every season, as a new year on the church calendar dawns with this first Sunday of Advent, we come before you longing to be made new. As the first candle on the Advent wreath glows in our midst, reminding us that this is a season of hope, we pray, O Holy One, for all who need hope in their lives. We ask that your comforting presence would surround the family and friends of Shirley Morton and fill them with peace as they hold fast to the hope of eternal life. Lord, we give you thanks for Shirley's faithful service among the women of this congregation, for her life, for her love, and we pray your blessing upon her throughout eternity. Lord, we pray for the hope of healing to be with all those we have named who are facing significant health concerns. We join with Paul in continuing to pray for his wife Melanie, his sister-in-law, his sister Lori, and his uncle Tom. Lord, we pray for Janice Kell as she faces possible brain surgery. And we give you thanks that Mary Oliver is recovering from her brain surgery, even as we pray for David and Billy, both facing significant health issues. Lord, watch over Cal as he sees the doctor on Tuesday. We're praying for good news from results of cancer tests, and we ask God that you will give Cal courage and strength to hold fast to your hope, no matter the outcome of the test. Give him strength in all that he cares for, as he watches over other members of his own family. Lord, we pray for Pastor Pierce, for the congregation that he leads, and for his family as he recovers from a stroke. We ask you, God, to be with little Eli and his family. Lord, we know that your healing power is great, and we join with many others across the country praying for this young man in Denver. We ask, God, that you will strengthen him and bless his family with peace. We join with Nina in praying for continued recovery for her grandson, for health as he struggles with neuroblastomas. We thank you, Lord, that progress has been made already, and we pray for a greater journey towards health for him. Be with Arlen and his students as they share the joyous music of the season this week. And God, we ask you to be with Amber as she travels to Mayo. In this season of Advent, Lord, it seems at times that the darkness of our world is great. And so we are blessed and thankful for the light that we experience and encounter through the birth of Christ. In the weeks ahead, Holy One, may we make space in our own lives to dwell ever more closely with you. May we set aside time each day for prayer and reading of Scripture to prepare our hearts and our homes to celebrate the birth of Christ. Indeed, Lord, may this season be not just one of celebration, but one of transformation as our lives are renewed through your presence. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Each season of the liturgical year is marked by a specific color used in paraments, such as our table coverings and banners. The simple changing of a color to match a season in the church year is a way to visually communicate meanings expressed in worship. The red of Pentecost is a sign of the Holy Spirit. White, representing the purity of Christ, is used for the holiest days of Easter and Christmas.
In the early days of Christian worship, Advent was seen as a somber time of spiritual preparation, much like the Lenten season. Purple table coverings were used to speak of Christ's royal kingship, but the mood was somber. As Christians began to share their celebration of Christmas with non-Christian neighbors, they began to focus on the joy of the Christmas event. As the emphasis of Christmas began to change to one of joyful celebration, the color used also changed to express the joy of welcoming Christ as our King. During Advent, purple is still used by some congregations, while others choose royal blue to speak of the kingship of Christ and the joy of the season. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Please turn to page 119 and sing O Come, Emmanuel, verses 1 and 2. In ancient Rome, evergreens were used to symbolize victory. Early Christians adapted this thought and applied it to Christ's victory over death. Many early Christians would place an evergreen bough as a symbol of peace in the windows of their home to show others that Christ lived there. Evergreens are used in the church as a symbol of eternity. Unlike deciduous trees that drop their leaves, pine, fir, and spruce remain ever green, ever alive, even in the deepest winter. They remind us of the everlasting life given to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Evergreen wreaths are formed in the shape of a circle, another symbol of eternity, reminding us of the never-ending gift of God's love.
The Revised Common Lectionary itself forms a circle. It is a three-year cycle of readings from Scripture shared by many different Christian denominations. This morning, as we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent, we begin year C of the lectionary. One of today's assigned readings comes from Jeremiah chapter 33. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness.
Jeremiah called Jesus a righteous branch springing up from the lineage of King David. Generations later, Jesus referred to himself as the vine and his followers as the branches, intimately connected to God's life through him. As lights brighten the evergreen boughs surrounding our sanctuary, you are invited to reflect on the promise of eternal life given in Christ as the choir sings, "Celebrate the Promise." We heard how evergreen branches symbolize eternal life, but there are other plants also associated with Christmas. The evergreen leaves of holly are as sharp as the crown of thorns Jesus wore, while its berries are as bright as the red drops of blood he shed on the cross. Another red and green plant of the season is the traditional poinsettia. It was named after Dr. Joel Robert Poinsett, an ambassador to Mexico, who first introduced it to the United States in 1828. The people of Mexico and Central America call the brilliant tropical plant the flower of the holy night. The poinsettia's bloom is a many-pointed star that has become a symbol of the Star of Bethlehem.
In various scriptures, Jesus is called a righteous branch, a shoot from the stump of Jesse, a rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. Isaiah 11 says, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Please turn in your hymnals to page 160 and join in singing "Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming" as poinsettias are placed at the front of the sanctuary.
Our reading today is from Luke 21, 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, that each day catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man.
Luke tells us There will be signs in the sun and the moon. Portents will appear. You will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud. It may seem strange to us that the lectionary reading for this day is one of prophecy. Perhaps we would rather skip ahead to the Christmas story and hear about shepherds and angels. But Advent is a time of waiting, a time to reflect on our own lives. Jesus says we should be on guard so that our hearts are not weighed down. Be alert at all times. Are we truly alert? Are we fully tuned in to the presence of God? The season of Advent is a time when we are called by our faith to fully and deeply prepare for Christ's coming, not just by putting up a Christmas tree in our home or hanging evergreens in the church, but by deep cleaning our own souls and spending time every day immersed in prayer and scripture. Are we standing upright? Do we know that our liberation is near? That Christ has already brought us forgiveness for our sins? Do we live like forgiven people in the already arrived realm of God? Jesus told a parable. Look at the tree. When it buds, you see summer is near. When children see trees erected in our homes or sanctuary, they know that Christmas is near. Nature speaks to us of signs for the seasons. All that is happening reveals the kingdom of God is near. We read in Luke, this generation will live to see it all. Luke's gospel had an urgency. The author had known Jesus in the flesh. These words come from Jesus. This generation will live to see it. Those who heard him speak would indeed see his death and resurrection. Jesus' birth and life were the inbreaking of God's reign in our world. We are called to live like people who know how the story ends. Even in the midst of painful and confusing times, we know that God gets the last word. One of the most beloved symbols of the Christmas season is the Christmas tree. Legend has it that around the year 1500 in Germany, the Reverend Martin Luther was walking home late on Christmas Eve after leading worship. He stood in wonder on a snowy hill, struck by the sight of starlight shimmering through the branches of a small evergreen. The story is told that he was so moved by the sight that he cut down a small fir tree and took it home to share with his children. He decorated the tree with small candles in honor of Christ's birth. The tree at the front of our sanctuary is decorated with chrismons, or Christ monograms. Each ornament is a symbol of the life of Christ. When you look closely at the tree, you'll see a fish, and remember that Jesus called us to be fishers of people. You'll see a lamb, and remember that Jesus is the Lamb of God. There are many different crosses and different forms and stars to remind us of the sacrifice of Christ, as well as the starlight that announced his birth. On our own trees and our own homes, the ornaments we hang often have stories to share. There may be that one made of popsicle sticks, falling apart now, but it speaks to you of your children's years in kindergarten or grade school. Perhaps there's an antique glass-blown ornament that's been handed down for generations, wrapped in tissue paper and carefully hung on the tree. Sorry, I'm a little emotional. When I was home for Thanksgiving, Debbie and I were working at cleaning out the family house. Our mom loved Christmas. The evidence of that is that we gave away 3 artificial Christmas trees that she had stored. After giving away 3 trees, we then went on to erect one in the living room. It was the first tree that my sister and her husband had bought when they were married. My brother had used it. It was starting to fall apart, but Mom kept it all those years. So now the empty house in Alamogordo has a tree still. It's the last time that a Dobson tree will be in that home. But we know it's not the last time there will be a tree. Our prayer is that in the coming year, the house will sell and it will become a wonderful home for another family where they will erect their tree and hang their ornaments and tell their stories. This Christmas season in your own home, whether you erect a tree or light a candle, whatever symbols you use to decorate the season, may they speak to you of the love of your family and the love of God revealed in Christ, whose birth we celebrate. As we come to the communion table this day, we remember the meal that Jesus shared with his friends and the incredible invitation he gave to everyone in the world who would choose to follow him, to come and share of the bread and taste the juice, to eat the bread of love, to share the cup of compassion. As we prepare for communion this morning, I invite you to turn in your hymnal to number 136. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. Christians all, your Lord is coming.
To be here at this table, where we celebrate the first coming of the disciples together for what was to be their last supper together, but the first time that we recognize Holy Communion. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread, and having given thanks, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
Promise making and promise keeping. God, we come to this table this morning because of the promise that you will meet us here in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine. Sometimes walking by faith and not by sight takes everything we have. We endure long stretches of life with precious few signs of your companionship and care. And so we thank you this morning for this table where we can remember your promises, and for this broken bread, for this wine poured, by which we can taste again your faithfulness in life and the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Nourish our hope this morning by the signs of bread and wine, and the stirring of your spirit. We pray expectantly in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
As we wait for the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the work of the church, whether it be here in Casper or throughout the ends of the earth, goes on. And for that to go on, we must be cheerful givers. And so as you prepare your tithes and offerings today, please think of those who you will be helping both locally and around the world as we prepare for the coming of our Lord. The diaconate will now collect our tithes and offerings. Lord, thank you for letting us be your hands, your feet, and your voices in this, your earthly kingdom. We ask that these tithes and offerings be used to share the word of you and how we are so in awe of your work and in anticipation of the arrival of your Son. Amen.
I invite you to remain standing and turn in your hymnals to page 134. Our closing hymn of dedication today is Emmanuel. We'll sing it through twice. The name Emmanuel means God with us. If there is anyone who is longing to have God with them in their lives, you're invited to join us here at First Christian Church by transfer membership or confession of faith and baptism. If you've never proclaimed your faith in Christ publicly, you're invited to come forward and do so. Let us sing.
God, Emmanuel.
I would remind you that on the 16th, we'll be having a Christmas recital in the afternoon. Anyone interested in sharing a talent that day is welcome to sign up on the bulletin board. We have coffee and refreshments waiting for us downstairs, a time of fellowship. I hope that you'll be able to stay at least for a few minutes and greet one another. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, you are revealed in this Advent season, in this holy time of year. May our lives reveal you to others as Christmas draws near. Go forth with us on this day of hope that we might share your love with all we meet. In your precious name, O Christ, we pray and we live. Amen.
Thank you, hon.
You're welcome.
Why is that? I don't see anything
changing.
They
probably flipped a switch in the other room,
oh.
So.
Okay.
And then the garland is back there.
So is the presiding elder supposed to plug all that stuff in the morning before we get started?
Well, it will all get plugged in at chapel, so.
Okay.
I'll flip the switches if you'll watch the lights and let me know.
Oh, well, I can do, I know, I got it down now, so.
Oh, too bad.
I can do it. That looks like it. Okay. Thank you. Hey, sir.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Oh, not too bad.
We'll be praying for you on Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
Are you gathering these? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Well, let's not waste it.
Should be nice and cold, but
of course, it's best to put it down the right tube.
Church has the hottest cold water I've ever seen.
Oh, it's no.
I think it's very close to the piping runs together to the
yeah.
Steam.
Well, I appreciate the ice in it because I like cold water.
You do.
I don't want to drink. You want to take a finger or you got it?
I got it.
Because it's empty. So.
All right.
Yeah, unless there's tea in it, I don't want hot water.
You don't want hot water?
Ice thing, it'll shoot it out of the